Father, there is nothing that can steal our hope, can take away our freedom. What a great reality, Father, that Christ's wounds have paid our ransom and that it is certain and sure. It is certain and sure because you are the guarantor of our eternity. Father, I pray this day that there may be those who have yet to put their faith and trust in Christ, that we'd come to know of their ransom, of their redemption, as they would put their faith and trust in Christ. Father, I pray today for your people as we hear your word, that it would minister to our souls, that we would be different, that your Spirit would move. Spirit would move in us and empower us to grow in the knowledge of your grace. You are a great God and we love you. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. Wyoming guests, Texas guests, Davenport guests. It's a lot of guests for us. It's a new indoor record, possibly. This morning when Brother John walked in, we talked about it is he and Shelley's 40th anniversary today. Amen. Praise God. And you know, it was interesting because what a testimony to the grace of God that any marriage that lasts 40 years. But Brother John, knowing his past, knowing all that's happened in his life, his and Shelley's life, that God has kept them together and produced children and grandchildren. It's a great testimony to God's grace. Very thankful for that. I am this preparing for this Colossians sermon that I preached last week and this week, and some of the ways in which it's taking my attention to you all. I was just struck with how I'm praising God and thanking God this entire week for all of you. In spite of our weaknesses, our failures, and our sins, I've been dwelling on God's work in and through this place called Grace Fellowship Church. It's overwhelming. There's incredible work that God has done over the last 12 and a half years represented in this room. I would encourage you, don't do it now because then you check out. But sometime this week, sit and dwell on all that God has done in and around us. Some of you have been here the whole 12 and a half years. Others, however long you've been here, just all that God has done in and through this tiny little church. God's grace is overwhelming. His work in your all lives that I get to watch and see. And then I spend time and think about that. I am so thankful to God. Amen. So thankful to God. First and foremost for all the salvations that he has wrought in these 12 and a half years. It's overwhelming to me. And then the sanctification that I have witnessed. The inexplicable, undeniable changed lives that I get to be around. Spend time and dwell on this. Spend time and dwell on the salvation and the sanctification. I mean, really seeing people living lives that please God by his grace. In spite of our failures and our sins and our shortcomings. In spite of us, God continues to work in us and through us. And wow, thank him, praise him, think upon those things. It is easy for us to think about, and it's right for us to think about and pray about and encourage another one in our sins and our failures and our struggles. But it's also right for us to dwell on God's mercies and his work in us and through us. And to dwell on those things. I mean, one of these days I might just do it. I might just stand up here and go around this room and point at you all and see what I see God doing in your lives. And how thankful I am for that. You all from Wyoming are here today. Even in your lives, I've seen that happening from afar. Sometimes close up. I'm just so thankful. Dwell on God's goodness to us, on how He's worked in us and through us, and then pray that He would give us even more grace to have more knowledge and live more pleasing lives to Him for His glory and for the sake of the gospel that we preach. Take time this week and dwell on that. I would strongly encourage you to do it. Remember where people sit and go through this room, one family at a time, one person at a time, and consider all you've seen God do. Okay, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 just to get us started. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Paul says, Timothy and I always thank God for you because of the faith and the love and the hope that we know that you have. For the fruit that you're bearing. You see, Epaphras has come and told us these wonderful things that are happening in Colossae. Epaphras, who brought you the gospel. Remember, Paul's writing to a people he's never met. He's never been to Colossae. He's writing to a people he doesn't know. He's going off a report from Epaphras, the man who, when he was at Ephesus, went out to that area and proclaimed the gospel, and a church was planted, apparently. And now he's hearing reports about them, and he's thanking God for what he's hearing about them. He's writing to the faithful brothers, to the saints and faithful brothers that are bearing fruit. We looked at last week, he's writing to the brethren who he's getting good reports about. Then he goes on then to say, he's explaining in verses 9 through 14 how he prays for them, who he prays for, and how he prays for them, and what he prays for them. Who they're praying for, and how and what they pray. We looked last week at the first part of this section, and we will look at the rest this week of Paul's prayer for the faith-filled, fruit-bearing saints in Colossae. So please stand and I'll read verses 9 through 14. And today we'll be looking mainly at verses 11 through 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You may be seated. As I was preparing for this sermon on Friday, I stopped a number of times and was able to implement what God is showing me for Grace Life Church in Alberta. It was actually a great, in God's providence, it was a great template and brought to mind them that I could pray for them. Having a way, a fresh way, a reminder, looking at what's happening here to pray for saints elsewhere. In a biblical way, to pray for those saints that are fruit-bearing and faithful from all the reports that we can receive. I hear reports from Aaron. I get reports from Aaron, kind of, and that's James's wife, and all these things about their church remind me so much of our church, and all the ways they interact with one another, and the way they proclaim the gospel, and they're bearing fruit, and this gives me a way to pray for them, to apply. And I told you, as I was preparing and have been, it brings to my mind you all, because I think that this is a church that is bearing fruit and is filled with faithful Christians. And it helps me to be able to pray, and I think that's what we want to make sure we do. We want to let this word change us, and even change how we pray, that we pray in a biblical way concerning the people we're praying for and the things we're praying about. To keep growing in God's grace about prayer for saints, because it's really of great importance. I'm concerned that my inability to communicate the depths of what's in this passage and proclaim it in a way that's useful, because there's so much inside of this for us to learn and grow from and be encouraged by. We looked last week at verses 9 and 10. This week we're going to look at verses 11 through 14, but let's look, review a little bit verses 9 and 10, where we see consistent prayer for the saints already bearing fruit. And so, from the day we heard what? Heard of your faith and your love and your hope. Heard of the fruit that you were bearing because of the gospel that you believed. We, Paul and Timothy, have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So Paul and Timothy were praying for a church that was doing well already. Remember, they're praying for, not praying about the struggling Christians. They're praying about ones that are bearing fruit, that he's getting good reports about. We looked at last week. He doesn't do this with the church at Corinth or Galatia, but with the other churches, this is how he prays for them in this manner. And what were they doing? They were asking. Remember this word asking we looked at. It's really important. Aiteo, to ask for, to demand, to plead for, to ask with urgency. I prayed for Grace Life Church this week with a different sense of urgency than I did before, because that's what I'm instructed to do. They prayed, they asked. They asked in this way where they're almost demanding of God. They're urgently pleading with God. And what are they asking for? Asking for a spirit-infused fuller knowledge of His will. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Remember that spiritual was pneumatikos. It was a spirit-given wisdom, sophia, and sunesis, understanding, a wisdom of being able to apply knowledge wisely, and the sunesis, the understanding of what you're being given by the Spirit, to understand that and bring these things together so that you would know of God's will for your life. He prayed for them that they would know more God's will for their life, that God Himself would infuse in them more knowledge of His will. And we're going to look at this more today, but I want to remind us of this at the beginning. As we pray for one another, even, it is true that we ought to help give the knowledge of God's will from the Word to one another. But it is true that we should be praying that God would be giving Corey a fuller knowledge of God's will for Corey's life. That God would be showing him more and more His will for his life. That we would pray, we would plead with, we would demand that God have His Spirit move on Corey to grow him in the knowledge of that will. We're asking, they're asking God for this knowledge of his will. For lives lived in a manner pleasing to him. They're asking God. Paul and Timothy are beseeching God. They're pleading with God to have the saints in Colossae live lives that are pleasing to him, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to walk in a manner worthy of Christ Jesus, fully pleasing to him. They're praying, God, have them to walk in a way worthy of Christ Jesus, consistent with who he is, and in a way that pleases you. God, that Callie and Matthew would live lives, that you would give them your spirit, you would give them a knowledge of your will, that they would live lives worthy of Christ Jesus and pleasing you, Father. Not Matt and Callie, live lives worthy of the calling to which you were called. That is instruction that should be given, but we are to be praying that for them. Praying that God would work and bring those things to fruition. Because it is God who does that, yes? It is only God who can do that. So all this prayer is to God, not instruction to people. Think about how encouraging it would be to know, if you're receiving this letter, this is how Paul and Timothy pray for you. To God, on your behalf. How encouraging is that to know that? Aaron was extremely encouraged to know that I was praying this for their church as I was preparing to preach it. It's very encouraging to know that people are praying to God on your behalf, that God would move in your life. So this is, again, this is an instruction. This is intercession, pleading with God, demanding God that he bring this to pass in the lives of his people, of his fruit-bearing, faith-filled Christians, that they would live obedient lives, then bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember last week we looked at, first, to know God's will with supernaturally, spiritually understanding God's will, and then living lives of obedience, pleasing to him, and out of that then, coming to a better knowledge of God himself. That experiential knowledge of God that comes through obedience. God, have Tony to understand your will for his life, live obediently, God, have him to do that, have your spirit to move that he would do that he would know you more out of that obedience. He would know you even more. God caused that to happen. Now there's a semicolon that comes after that part. A semicolon in English, it gives a new thought, if you will. This is still part of the prayer that they are praying. They have been praying for this spirit-infused fuller knowledge of God's will, and then living lives in a manner pleasing to him, that they would know him even more. And then they go on to pray, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Remember, it shouldn't be confusing, but he's explaining to the Colossians how he prays to God for them. And he's saying, here's what I pray. I pray more grace. I pray more grace for you. God's supernatural power. Remember how we define grace. One of the working definitions for grace. Grace is what? God's supernatural power unto salvation. And grace is God's supernatural power unto sanctification. So Paul and Timothy are saying, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for endurance, patience with joy. They're asking God concerning the brethren who are already bearing fruit and faithful for more grace. More grace. With all power. So the sentence in the English reads, being strengthened with all power. In the Greek, with all power, that second part is actually in the emphatic position. So it's en pas dunamai. So it should be, the translation from Greek would be better, with all power being strengthened. It'll matter here in a minute. With all power being strengthened. With all power, en pas, with all. En pas dunamai. It's from the word dunamis, right? Dunamis, we've looked at before, dynamite. But dunamis, power, ability to perform an activity. So Paul is praying to God with all power, being strengthened. They're asking God to use all of his power. God, all, with all of your power, God, that they would be strengthened, being strengthened. Duna nao meo, which is from duna mao, which means to make someone able, to give capability. Again, notice the prayer. The prayer is they're asking God to use all of his power to give the ability to. God, use all of your power to give the ability to. Make them capable. Make them able. God, make them able to. This word, dunamao, we see in Hebrews 11, 32 through 34. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, here's what they did. They conquered kingdoms, they enforced justice, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the power of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, they were made strong. Dunamao. They were made strong to do these things by God. By faith, and by the power of God, both of God and both from God, they were able to do these things. Out of weakness, mighty for war. They were made strong out of weakness by God, not of themselves. So Paul and Timothy, they are saying, God, with all your power, make them able. According to his glorious might, with all power being strengthened according to doxa, his glorious, autos doxa, his glorious might, kratos, power. Listen to the emphasis that Paul's putting on this. He's saying, God, with all your power, enable the saints. With all of your strength and all of your might, make them able to do something. We're going to see what he wants them to do, but they're praying that God would pour out more grace. God, pour out your power with all your power, pour out your power with all of your might to these saints. Does it make sense? Do we pray to God for his power, to be all of his power, with all your power, God, strengthen the saints at Grace Fellowship Church with all of your glorious strength. Give them your strength, God. Give them your power. Not, God, I pray Greta would try harder. I sure hope Cal will do better. Rather, that God would use all of his power to give power out of all of his glorious might. He would give the saints power to do whatever's coming next. So this power that Paul and Timothy are praying for the Colossian saints is to have God's power, the power that he provides to his people. Their prayers aren't about or directed at the efforts of the saints. Their prayers are directed at God giving power to the saints supernaturally. It isn't a prayer for focused on the saints and their performance. It's a prayer that's focused on God, more grace. Give them more grace. Supernaturally infuse them with more of your power. Ephesians 1:19. This is the power that God's people need. They don't need their own power. We're without power, aren't we? Ephesians 1:19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might? His power is immeasurably great. Ours is nothing. I don't need to be praying for Emily to do better. I need to be praying that God would give her the power, give her the grace. It's God's power that God's people need. And what we're being taught here is, we've talked about this before, prayer is the means by which it comes to you, is my prayers for you. How Grace Life Church Alberta is going to stay strong is by the prayers of the saints. Because God's going to do that through His Spirit. And again, prayer is the means by which He brings to fruition His decrees. Just like the gospel is the means by which He brings salvation to fruition. So if we don't pray, then nothing's happening. But we will pray. If we don't preach the gospel, no one's being saved. But we will preach the gospel. That's what God's people do. And what God's people do is pray, and they pray for more grace, more power for His people. Hebrews 11:11, by faith Sarah herself received power, dunamao, to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Whose power, under whose power was Sarah able to have a child at the age of 90? Her power? No, God's power. That's what we need. We need God's power. Not her ability. Not her power. This power, this same power of God that Jesus promised to the disciples in Acts 8 before He ascended. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses. So you will receive power. Cal, you will be empowered. You will have the power of God to live your life in a way that pleases Him. But Tony, you're going to pray that power to be released into Cal's life. And you don't get to sit there and just say, well, God will give him the power. God's got that. That's not what Paul thinks. Paul is writing to some fruit-bearing, faithful Christians, and he's saying, I pray for you. When I pray for you, I pray that God would give you more power. Second Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. It's His divine power that's granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Whose power will have Jonathan to live a life of godliness? God's power. What is our job to help him in that? Pray that God would give him more grace. To instruct him, yes. And to intercede for him. To God for His power in his life. 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Dunamao, the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves how? By the strength that God supplies. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Look, we're in jars of clay. We're in bodies that are going to break down. Our physical bodies are going to die. We're in jars of clay. But we have this treasure. Here's the treasure we have. to show that the surpassing of power belongs to God and not to us. The surpassing power of, it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. So there's really no sense in me praying for Maria to do better. It's kind of a useless prayer. I can instruct Maria to do better, whatever that means. But praying that God would give her the grace to live a life that pleases Him. So did you sense the great expectation and hope we can then have? When we're actually praying to the God of the universe, we're actually praying to God that He would put His power, give His power more to Joshua. Man, I get excited about that. That I am pleading with God, demanding God, give Him your grace. You said you will, do that, God. That's worth so much more than me telling Him sometimes. He knows. If He doesn't, we'll tell Him. Now, God, go to work. I can really be hopeful in that. I don't have to bang my head against the wall. Why won't He listen to me? Why won't He listen to me? Why won't He listen to me? Josh, nothing going on in your life. You just happened to be the last place I stopped. Hey, brother, here's what I see. Here's what the Bible says. Here's this. Now go pray. And you know what? It's interesting. I happen to stop there. That is how I've interacted with Josh for the last 2 years of his life. We seldom sit together and get specific instruction. We have a couple of times. He's here every Lord's Day. And I pray for him often. And I pray that God would pour out His grace in Josh's life to be all those things and live a life pleasing. And you know what? I really believe it's working in so many ways. I believe I see it. See, this guided my prayers this week for Grace Life Alberta. You see how exciting it is to pray in this manner? Trusting in the God who can make things happen? Now, I didn't care about fences coming down. I don't pray about fences coming down. I pray for the saints that God would pour His power out into them. They would have a knowledge of His will for their life. He would grant them more grace to live lives that please Him, regardless of fences or not fences. Too many people want to pray that fences come down instead of that saints be faithful. Ephesians 1:19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might. Listen to the power that's available. That He worked in Christ, this power that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. This power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that God has that we are pleading with Him to pour out. That power. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason, this is how Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. That God would strengthen you with His power by His Holy Spirit in your inner being. It's a great way to pray, beloved, for faithful, fruit-bearing Christians. Pray for more of God's power in their lives. Pray for more grace. Now, Paul instructs the Ephesians as well. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. There's an instruction. You, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. You access God's power. And he tells them that. And just before that in the same book, he said, this is what I'm praying for. That God would give you that. Instruction and intercession. All right, back. Now we're looking at what he's praying for. Is he's praying for this power of God. With all power. Strengthening according to your glorious might, Give all this to these Colossian saints, God. Cause your Spirit to give them more and more grace for a purpose. For all endurance and patience with joy. Paul and Timothy ask God for more of His power to be given to these saints at Colossae for all endurance. Hupomone. Capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. He's praying that God would give them power not to raise people from the dead, not to knock down fences, not to do just, he's praying for God's power because they're going to need it. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, they need this power to endure. Hupomone. To the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Tony will not bear up under difficult circumstances of his own strength. I've seen it. He won't. But with the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that power would have him endure. Yes? Different, isn't it? And the prayer is not for the things that we normally pray for in this particular case, and most cases as we look at the New Testament. He's praying for this supernatural power that they would be able to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances, hupomone, and patience, makrothumia. It means a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune, and without complaint or irritation. He is praying that they would endure. They would have the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances and patience, emotional calm in the face of provocation and misfortune without complaining. Brenda will not endure and be patient in her own strength, I assure you. And if she tries, she will fail. But with the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, she can endure and she can be patient. And that's what we pray for her. It's not about Brenda being patient and enduring. It's about God unleashing that power into her life. Give her that, God. Paul and Timothy knew of the struggles that were coming to the church at Colossae. The ones they were already experiencing and the ones they were going to experience. Because Christendom brings struggles. Christendom brings provocation. Christendom brings persecution. It is going to take the power of God that John would stand, endure and be patient when he's being attacked for his faith at the workplace. He can't do it. He gets up here and gives confessions that he can't do it regularly. But with the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he can endure and be patient. The difficulties, the provocations, the misfortunes, the temptations to be irritated or not calm. We need, listen, brothers and sisters, I need the power of God. Pray that for me. How do you do it trying to stand up under these things on your own? We've proven that fairly well, haven't we? And yes, I'm going to continue to instruct Susan, and then I'm going to pray for her. So, God, they're praying to God, with all power, your power, God, strengthen them, make them capable with all your might, all your glorious might, that they could be patient and endure. with joy. Sometimes you can actually put up with the temptations and the struggles and the provocations. Sometimes you actually maybe not complain as you bite your tongue or as you act like you're not bothered when you really are. But no, that's not his prayer. His prayer isn't that you white knuckle it. His prayer isn't that you clench your teeth and get through it. No, his prayer that God would pour out grace into their lives that they could endure and be patient with joy. Meta, with, in the company of, together with, kara, where we get the word charis, gladness, state of rejoicing, happiness. They are praying for the saints at Colossae, not that they would have more of God's power to endure and be patient with angst and frustration, but with joy. It's one thing to bear up under it. It's another thing to bear up under it with joy. And that's Paul's prayer for these saints, these ones that are doing well. See, these, as Christians, what he knew about these Colossian believers was they were going to suffer persecution. They were going to lose family. They're probably going to lose income. This Christianity comes at a cost. And all of a sudden, our world around us is changing, and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to endure and be patient with joy. Well, now that's going to happen is with the power of God that you pray into my life and I yours. How do I access the prayer? How do I access the grace of God, someone might ask me? I can instruct them. I can give them some suggestions. And then I can pray. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You will only abound in hope and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:34, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Christians can and will. Okay, Christians can and will joyfully accept any persecution because we have a greater hope than anything temporal. And how we do that is by the grace of God, by His power. He gives us His power so we can be joyful in all circumstances. So it is right and good to tell Brad, Brad, be joyful in all circumstances. Whatever's going on, be joyful. And it is not right and good to do that and then not pray that God would give him the grace to do that. First Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God. Paul says, look, this is how important the grace of God is in my life. I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. In other words, by the grace of God, I am the apostle that you see. And his grace to me was not in vain. On contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. You want the saints you know to be even greater for God? They need more of God's grace. And that's what you should pray for them. More of God's grace. In order for Christians to endure and be patient with joy in difficult circumstances, it is only by God's granting His power to them to do so. When you're feeling hopeless, when you're feeling discouraged, and you talk to a brother or sister how to pray for you, remind them to pray for you the grace of God. Not that your circumstance would change. That God would give you more grace. It's what you need. How can I pray for you, brother? More of God's grace. How can I pray for you? Well, the business would slow down a little bit and I'd have more time. More of God's grace. I need more grace. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's something for you to do. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You got something to do, but God's got to do all of that in you. And as I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to pray for God to do that. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can actually endure and be patient with joy. See, some of us in here really don't like the fact that we're supposed to endure and be patient. We don't like that enough. We certainly don't like we're supposed to do it with joy. Of course we don't. We need more of God's grace. We know it's coming. Right? We know it's coming. We know pain and suffering are coming. We know death's coming. We can endure those things. Be patient in those things with joy by the grace of God. Okay, back to verse 11. They're urgently pleading with God to give more of his mighty strength to the saints in Colossae, to endure and be patient with joy the sufferings and trials and persecutions they would endure. Really good template for Grace Life Church and Trinity Baptist if they go forward there. So next, we see another semicolon. Another new topic of prayer. To God, remember this is to God on behalf of the faith-filled, fruit-bearing Christians in Colossae. Paul and Timothy asking God for them to be giving thanks to him for what he has done for them. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. They're giving thanks and they're asking that God would have these Christians give thanks to him because of what he's done for them. We know that we should be thankful. We are to be thankful as Christians and we are to be thankful for all things. We're thankful for food and we're thankful for family and that's all good and fine. But what we're most thankful for, what Paul's praying about for them is that they give thanks to the Father for something specific. They're asking God that he would cause them to be giving thanks to him. God would cause them to give thanks to him, God, for what he's done for them. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified hikanao, to make sufficient, to make adequate. Here's why I'm praying you'd give thanks to God, because God, what God's done for you, saints in Colossae, he's qualified you. He's made you sufficient. He's made you adequate. Listen, you're inadequate in yourself. You're insufficient for relationship with God. But we can give thanks to God the Father because he's made us sufficient. He's made us adequate. He has qualified you to share, meris, a part as distinct from the whole. He has qualified you, saints, to share, to have a part in the inheritance. By the way, ho kleros, definite article, the inheritance, a specific inheritance. He has qualified you to share in the kleros, that which is given as a rightful possession, often in the sense of an inheritance. Praying that they would be thankful to God for qualifying them to have a part in the possession of the inheritance. They're sharing in the inheritance with the saints in the light. Thankful to God because he's made them co-heirs with Christ and one another. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. that they would be thankful to their Father who qualified them to be co-heirs with Christ in his kingdom. We're praying that God would give you power to endure and be patient with joy, and that you would be thankful to God for what he's done for you. What he's done for you is he's qualified you for a part in this inheritance of the Hagias, the saints, in light. Ho, phos, the light, a particular light. The light of Jesus Christ, in contrast to darkness, usually in relationship to some source of light, such as the sun, the moon, a fire. So there is light coming off of this light bulb. Phos. Hophas, he has qualified you for a share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. The light connected to Jesus Christ. That's what he's done for you. Be thankful. I'm praying that God would have you to be thankful. Now the next verse he's going to tell them, be thankful. I'm praying that God would have you be thankful. I cannot tell you the number of times I pray for you, brothers and sisters, that you would be thankful. That God would enable you and empower you and give you grace to be thankful. Because I sit in a chair where I get to see some of your lack of thankfulness. Be thankful. This is what God's done. He's qualified you. You were unqualified. You had no chance on your own, Stephanie. He qualified you to share in this inheritance in the light. Hophas. The light of Christ Jesus. The light of the saints. So he's saying, you've been qualified to be a part of the inheritance of all those set apart in the light, this particular light, the light of Jesus Christ. Can you be thankful? God, give them the grace to be thankful. You seem to be struggling with thankfulness. Yeah, brother, pray for more grace. Help me to remember what God's done for me. That God would have me to remember. So that's Paul and Timothy. They're praying to God that he would do these things. Ask you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Then he goes on in verse 13. Now he's explaining to them that they could be encouraged. That they could remember what God has done for them. That they would be more thankful. So from praying, he's now instructing them, here's what God's done for you. Here's what God's done for you. Everyone in here today, listen. This is everyone here who knows Christ. This is what God's done for you. He has delivered us. Roimai means to rescue from danger, with the implication that the danger in question is severe and acute. So God has delivered us. By the way, that's why deliverance is not necessary for believers. That's why deliverance ministries are nonsense. We've already been delivered. So if somebody wants to, you as a Christian, say, let me pray those demons out of you, or let me do a deliverance on you. No, you've been delivered. You've been rescued. He has rescued us. He has delivered us from the domain, exousia. From the domain, exousia, a state of control over something or someone. Authority, rule, or jurisdiction. Be thankful to God because God has rescued you from the authority of, the control of, darkness. By the way, there's a definitive the ho skatos. He has delivered you. He has rescued you from the authority or the rule of darkness. Ha hoskatas. the darkness, the evil world, abode of sin, abode of evil spirits. God has delivered us. He's telling these Colossians, the Colossian faithful saints, you and me, saints at Colossae, Paul says, Paul and Timothy say, look, he's delivered us. Remember, he's delivered us. He's rescued us from the domain, the control, the authority of the evil one, of evil spirits, of darkness, of Satan. And not just rescued us and left us in some place of neutrality. He didn't just take us out of the power, the authority of darkness. He brought us somewhere. He transferred us. Methistemi, caused to move from one place to another, caused to change. He, God, be thankful, saints. God has rescued us from the authority of the evil world. And he's caused us to be moved into someplace. He's transferred us somewhere. To the kingdom of his beloved son. To the kingdom. Ho, the kingdom. Again, a definitive article. Ho, Basilia, the kingdom. Of Ho, Huis, the son. Ho, Agapes, the beloved one. God has rescued us from the control, the dominion of darkness, and he has transferred us to the king of his beloved son, Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Be thankful. That's an instruction I'm giving you. That's an instruction Paul's giving us. Yes, we pray for God to give you that thankfulness, but you are being instructed. Remember what he has done and be thankful. How can you, even when you're in persecutions or provocations or difficult circumstances, how is it that you're not enduring and being patient with joy? If you'll remember what he's done, you will be thankful. And then you can live in that place of joy. Whatever you're having come your way. This is what he's done. Do you remember? He's taken you out. He hasn't just left you there though. He's transferred you from the dominion of darkness, the control of the evil world, and he's transferred you into the kingdom of his son. In his son, this beloved son, ho, huis, ho, agapes, we have ho, apotrosin, the redemption. To set free, to liberate, to deliver, to ransom, to let one go free upon payment of ransom. We have been set free. We have been ransomed. We have been liberated from the power of sin. Be thankful. Be thankful. Oh God, give them grace to be thankful. Give them power to live ways that are pleasing to you. Give them power to live in these ways that are good and right. Give them power to be thankful, and then saints, be thankful. Remember what he's done. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness. Ho, ephesin, the. Remove guilt resulting from wrongdoing. We are free from the penalty and the power of sin and evil. Be thankful. Remember, you have been freed from the power and the penalty of sin. Be thankful. Forgiveness of sins. What are sins? Ho, hamartyrion. That's the sins. It's actually a particular sin. The sins, missing the mark, to wander from the law of God. This is what God has done for us. None of us could have done ourselves. None of us could have done this ourselves. Be thankful. You see, he's not even telling them all these other things to do. All he's really telling them is be thankful. Be thankful for the salvation you've received. Be thankful for what God has done for you. Because out of that thanksgiving is going to flow a different kind of life than if you're not living out of thanksgiving. A far different kind of life. Think about that in your own selves. When you're living with thankfulness to God, Really focused on what God's done, who he is and what he's done for you. Your life goes a whole lot differently when you're focused on the troubles of the world and your complaints about what's wrong in your world. Live out of your complaints and see how much joy you have. Live out of thankfulness and it's a whole different world. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hebrews 12:28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Colossians 2:6, just a little while longer, therefore as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. See, here's the instruction he's giving them. This is instruction that's coming in Colossians on top of the prayer that he's praying for them to have this. Therefore, be as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Walk worthy. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Paul says, we pray for you. We pray to God that he would give you more grace to live out these ways. And we do that remembering, and we do that with thankfulness, remembering all that he has done for us and you. Closing thought. Paul makes a habit of praying for saints who are faithful and bearing fruit. He asks God in a demanding way to cause them to know his will, to live lives that please him, that they know him even better, as they are strengthened by his grace to endure their walk with joy, and that they may be thankful to him for his gift of salvation. This is a way to pray for the saints that you know. This is a way to pray for one another. This is a way to pray for Grace Life Alberta. This is a way to pray for those that are bearing fruit. And what we see, Paul gives lots of instruction. What's the first half of this book going to be? Orthodoxy and then orthopraxy. He's going to give instruction on how to live. But he starts out by saying, hey, I pray God's grace that you can live this way, because without it, what I'm about to write to you is meaningless. Without the grace of God, I'm just going to give you a bunch of works. You won't be able to do them anyway, and you'll just be frustrated by them. But I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, faithful saints. I'm praying for you that God's grace would be poured out in you more and more, that he would provide the power to live in these ways. Now live in these ways. Again, I want to challenge us before we leave this section. This is how we ought be praying. It's right to instruct, and it's necessary to intercede. Because only God can do this anyway. Father, we thank you for, again, this pattern of prayer that Paul has for the saints at Colossae that helps us to consider and understand and know how we ought pray. Father, we want to pray rightly. We trust that you answer prayer. We trust that you answer prayer, that you carry out all that you have decreed. You carry out all of your will for the lives of your people, and you empower that through our prayers. Father, help us to pray for one another. Father, you have your Spirit to remind us Father, that we would pray to you to release more power, that we could pray to you to release more power.